Luke chapter 2 this morning, your Bibles, your tablets, then Ephesians chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, couple passages there. Luke chapter 2, then Ephesians chapter 1. While you're turning there, I'll get there myself. And so, Ephesians chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 1. Sorry about that. Ephesians chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. And we want to continue on today. We're in our Joy to the World series. And all our teenagers, young people, well, I hope you'll tune your phones into your Bible apps if you need to and get ready to listen here. And that would be a real big help and all. Luke chapter 2 and Ephesians 1. And we've had to stand extra this morning. I'm so sorry. We'll streamline service a little bit next week. But to honor God and His Word, if you've got one more in you, let's honor Him by standing for the Word of God, and I'll do a little better scheduling next week. Thank you. Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I want to focus on the end of that this morning, the all people. Ephesians chapter 1, and verse number 9. Ephesians 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Having made known in us the mystery of His will." What is that? That Christ would come, would be born of a virgin, would take on flesh, and we get what we did not understand before, we understand a little bit better now, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. It was Christ's plan. It was God's plan, not just our need. This is not a reaction from God. This is the plan of God. This is what God purposed to do, God desired to do, God wanted to do. Then He purposed in Himself that in the dispensation, some of you in your notes there, it says administration, in God's overall plan of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. God wants to reconcile humanity to Himself. And I want to walk us through there. Why is this good news? Why is this good news to everyone? Would you pray with me one more time? Father, speak to every heart. Help me to preach Your Word with power and authority. And I pray that You would give us real hope this morning and a real sense of purpose. Thank You for Your love to us. May everything done honor and glorify You today. I pray all this in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. And amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Joy to the world. We're going to focus on that, all the people this morning, all the people. I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy the Christmas season. I enjoy thinking about this. I can't help but think. I don't know why I thought a lot about Andre and I being married. How many of you are glad Andre and I are married? How many of you are glad we're not, okay. Some of you didn't raise your hand. I don't know what that means. We were talking about people who go away and take Christmas trips. Anybody, they go to New York or go somewhere and do something like that. Anybody know anybody like that, or they do those kind of things? Anybody wish you were there right now instead of in service? Don't raise your hand. And we were talking about that. And Allison said, that's what I, for Christmas next year, I want one of those, get on a bus, go a day or two to New York and do those kind of things. And we told her that'd be great. Let us know how it works, and she can pay for it. We didn't say that, but we thought, and we kind of chuckled. And I thought about that old joke again. Not a joke. If I'd have known how good it was to be married to Andrea, I'd have done it sooner. But I didn't know her before then. We've laughed and all. Andrea dated exactly one person before she met me, and then when she met me, she just stopped. Figured it was enough, and figured it couldn't get any better, or hopefully worse. And so there it was. I had a different route to her, but we've chuckled and all. People were talking. A guy said he was 26. Two or three children and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I was 26 and barely married. You know, we snuck in Allison before I turned 30, and we're those people. Allison graduated from high school, and everybody's looking at us wondering where the rest of the people are. You know, because we look, you know, at least I do. I look like a grandparent in some of these functions and all. It's kind of humorous, makes me feel bad, but sometimes. But anyway, and if I live long enough to see her graduate from college or Riley, I will be that guy there, and they're looking at, you know, grandparent. I'll have your joke going, Brother Claunch, about being your own grandpa and all. And we're there, but we were at the right time. I wasn't crazy mature. How many of you think preacher wasn't real mature at 18 or 19? Don't you dare. How many of you think it was, you know, when the Lord put us together, it was the right time? We didn't think so. We didn't think it was the right place. We were 6-7 states away. We had to call after 11 or 10 because it was cheaper, because we were long-distance relationship, and we had to use calling cards and those kind of things, you know. Anybody remember the calling cards? You punch in about 25 digits, and if you miss one, you had to start over. Boy, you talk about losing your spirituality in a hurry there. And we'd do this, and there was an hour difference in the time and where I was at, and we were there, and we were just mature enough, the right age, and it's the right time. When it's the right time, man, it seems like it's exactly right. And what we have here in the Scriptures, in Ephesians, is the Apostle Paul, and the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He says it was just the right time. Literally, it actually can be translated when it was ripe, when the earth was ripe, when it was ready. When it was ready. In God's plan, lined up exactly with what's ready. Now, let me help you here. There's no internet, there's no phone, there's no cabling, there's no mass communication. If we're looking at it, we're going, man, it would have been a lot better in the age of television, where you got the message out differently. In the age of penicillin. How many of you are glad for antibiotics, by the way, in here? It would have been a little better this time. And he says, no, it's the exact right time for me to come. For me to come, to bring joy to all the people. That word joy there, and that word message, and that word gospel, we're going to look at a little bit. It's that idea of good news. I'm going to ask you this morning, I want to challenge you. Is it good news to all people? Is it good news to you? Is it good news to the people in this room? What does it mean that everything was ripe? What does it mean that the earth was ready? What does it mean that God has done this here? I want to give you a couple ideas here as we head into our communion time, our Lord's table time. What is it? What is this good news? What is it? Let me walk you out of this, walk you through this. Keep your Bibles open. I want to show you some things. I want to help you with some things this morning, and I want you to see it. All these themes here. The first is that God first came not to judge us, but to be judged for all our sins. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Romans 8, 3. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God didn't first come to judge us. How many of you are glad that He came to save us first before the judgment? If He had came to judge us, we'd all been stuck, amen, because we're all guilty. We're all absolutely, positively guilty. Anybody here ever been in real bad trouble? Just nod at me. Don't raise your hand because people will move away from you. Anybody ever been in real bad trouble or felt like you're in real bad trouble? Now, you can raise your hand on this. Anybody here, you get in the least little bit of trouble and you get real emotional? You get the short breath and the waterworks, you know? Anybody here, you can fake it? You can fake it like that? Get out of tickets and stuff like that? I don't like any of you. You can leave. Policeman pulls me over, man. He's writing the maximum. Pulls over Andres. I'm sorry, officer. And he's like, it's okay, ma'am. And puts her on her way. Drives me crazy, although I'm glad our insurance ain't going up, I suppose. We're there. In our family, we've got people, my extended family, we've got people, man, that cannot stand to be in trouble. You can't stand for anybody to give them a cross look. Principal wants to call them and said, come to the office. They're getting an award. They're about to lay down, you know, and just pass out before they get to the office, even though it's a positive thing. They can't stand the thought of being in trouble. I ask people sometimes when we preach a teenager, if you're not scared of being in trouble, you've just never really been in any kind of bad trouble. Let me throw it a different way. How many of you, if you got in trouble somewhere as a child or as a teenager or a college student, It was worse when you went home. Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, stepmom. How many of you are like, this ain't nothing compared to the ugliness that's about to happen at the house? Anybody, you're raising your children that way? They get in trouble. They get in trouble to come home. It's just, man, it's just death on toast, right? It's just bad. Anybody? How many of you like that expression? How many of you going to start doing that now? You get in trouble. You get a bad girl. You come home. It's over. It's over. You just go ahead and pack. You're sleeping outside in the doghouse. We don't have a dog. It doesn't matter. You're sleeping outside. And those kind of things. I was more scared of after punishment than I was punishment. In fact, I still am. I'm about to have panic. No, I'm not. I'm getting all hot and sweaty just thinking about it. We're here. He came to judge us. Say, that doesn't bother me. If it doesn't bother you, you never really thought about how much you offended God. Some of you say to me, well, this person's being disrespectful in the service. They're playing on their phone. They're mucking around. They're talking during the service and all. And you're upset because it offends me. I mean, I appreciate that. But we all ought to be upset as well because it offends God. It's His house. It's His church. It's His place. By the way, unsaved, unchurched folks, man, I don't expect any different of them. Do you? Do you? I get that. That's why they're here, man, so they can learn about God. You ever been really bad shape here? He says He didn't come first to judge us, but to be judged for our sins. What do you mean here? What do you mean? Romans chapter 8, verse 3, I read that too. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. You and I cannot keep God's law perfectly. You and I cannot keep God's law perfectly. Let me just help you a little bit with this. Anybody ever play the quiet game? Or try and get your children or people to play the quiet game? You've been on a long trip. Let's play the quiet game. Whoever can stay the quietest as long as wins. And then they go, what's a quiet game? Well, you're out. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. Young people, they play this game, and the only rule of the game is that you can't think about the game, because if you think about the game, then you lost. Some of you went, what? Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? We can't do it. We can't do it. You ever tried not to sin? You ever tried not to think anything smarky or smarmy? You ever tried not to have a bad thought? We cannot keep God's law. What law? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make unto thee any kind of graven image. You can't have any kind of idols. Excuse me. You can't take God's name in vain. You're supposed to honor your father and mother. You're not supposed to steal. You're not supposed to covet what somebody else has. You're not supposed to hate anybody. You're not supposed to be willing to murder them. All these things. We're not good at keeping the law. We're good at breaking the law. And when you break the law, you're guilty of the law. People go to court and they say, oh, it's an awful judge. Why? Because he delivered the punishment. Somebody's a good judge when we think what? When they let us off the hook. God is an absolutely fair judge. He's not letting anybody off the hook. Instead, he's going to do what? Read the rest of the verse. He is going to punish his son. What's Christmas about? What's Christmas good news? Christmas is good news because the punishment that you and I deserve, God has given to His Son. So I was in real bad trouble. You're in real bad trouble. And He didn't just wipe it away. He didn't just say boys will be boys. Didn't just say it's I understand. He instead said what? He said, I will punish my son. Two ideas here. Number one, He took my penalty. Number two, He took my place. I thought and thought. I've just, my mind's been overwhelmed with this idea this week. I thought last time when our kids were just bad, sick, hospital sick, crib, kind of barely toddler age, they would fall out of bed so they. So it's the most ungainly thing. It's just basically bars. They just the crib goes all the way up, and so they can't crawl out of it. Just almost to the ceiling. And kids and our child's in there and wired up, and all these doohickeys and machines and just there. And I asked the nurse. I said, "Can't we need to stay in there?" I said, can't we? I finally found a sympathetic nurse to let me take her child out and hold him. And I sat there in that hospital room with all those IVs and all that stuff. And not understanding at all what was going on, praying. And I said it once, I said it 1,000 times. I wish that was me. Man, I wish that was me. Man, I wish that was me. The people from the church came in. I'd love to do anything. What can I do for you? I said, I wish it was me in there. I wish it was me in there. I understand that. He never sinned. He never broke God's law. We deserve to be punished. We deserve to be sentenced. We deserve to be executed. We deserve hell. And he's going to take my penalty. He's going to take my place. See, why is it good news? Why is it good news? Because Romans says that we could not keep God's laws, and he perfectly kept God's laws. And through his active and his passive obedience, what God's law could not do, and that is save us, it could only condemn us. God Christ did this, and he did this as he became flesh for us at the Christmas story, and he was condemned on our behalf. It's good news. Why? Because he first of all didn't come to judge us, but to be judged for all our sins. Number two, God's plan was always hope. God's plan was always hope. How many of you just like the word hope? Man, I like the word hope. Hope. There's hope. Hope. Mike and Melissa have been refurbishing their house and all. There's hope. It's going to be finished. It's close. No, there's no hope. Never mind. Bad illustration. And no, it looks great. It's wonderful. A few times, though, you needed hope. I've been there. I was there a couple times. It's hope. I mean, I got to do it. Some of you are traveling. You got stuff you got to do before you get on the road. And you use that word hope. I hope I get it all done. Hope I get it all done. Folks are finishing up their exams and stuff and finishing up. And I hope I can stay awake long enough to study what I should have been studying all semester. There's hope. We use that word here. I'm not talking about hope as in time word. I'm not talking about hope as in I have a list of things. I'm talking about hope as in the fuel for life. It's an amazing thing to me. You're in your Bible's open there. Go back to John. John chapter 3, verse 17. John 3, 17. Same idea. Talking about sending his son there. This theme that we see in Ephesians 1 there. John 3, 17. For God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that sounds kind of familiar to me, preacher. It should, because it's right behind John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here is the facing page of that verse. Why? God didn't send his son to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. That is screaming hope. It's hope. I picked this up. 10th leading cause of death in the United States, North America, is death by your own hand, suicide. 2016, death by your own hand surged to the highest level in nearly 30 years. By the way, standard of living, money in our pocket, health care, everything is also at a stratospheric high. You would think people's level of hope would go up when their standard of living goes up. It's not the case. The more we have, the more pleasure we have, the more stuff we have, the worse we feel. Our problem is never with pleasure. Our problem is we don't know what to do with pain. The rise was particularly steep for women, middle-aged Americans, those who have gotten a measure of success. Suicide rate for middle-aged women, 45 to 64, jumped by almost 63%. Men, 43%. You average those together, That is almost a 50 to 60% increase just in 30 years. 30 years. They were so widespread that they lifted the rate for the whole country to 13 per 100,000. 42,000 people died by their own hand in 2014, compared with only 29,000 just in the year 1999. You break that down. Every day, 10 people. You take out all the people who are unsuccessful there. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to address mental illness or any of those kind of things like that. if those are the issues and the areas, I want you to feel free to talk about it. You can talk to me about it, and I'm gonna hand you to somebody that I feel is very qualified. If it's a medical issue, I'd be glad to do that. There's no stigma there. Look at me. There's no stigma there. There's no problem there. There's no issue with you talking about the problem, rather. For however many years we talk about some things, and make people feel bad that they struggle. I don't want you to struggle. Let me help you, though. For some, though, it's because you've lost hope. You've lost hope. I almost hate to pick up the paper or the car and shopper sometimes. Things going on with young people. Struggles. College students. I can't help it. All these years working with young people. It's 85 degrees outside and somebody's wearing long sleeves and looking real fidgety. I'm scared to death asking to pull their sleeve up. See all the marks on their arm. And Wes said, I'm not a doctor, I'm not. There's an issue. Wonderful. Fine, I want you to get all the help you need. But I want to remind you that there's hope. There's hope. People trade partner after partner after partner after partner. And they think if I just find somebody who corresponds to me better sexually, then I will be happy and I will have joy. And they figure out real fast that that doesn't bring any hope. That doesn't bring any hope. They're just trading one problem for another set of problems, another set of disappointments. People bounce from drugs to alcohol to experiences. They fill their lives full of things and all, and they don't have hope. And the Bible says that God sent His Son, but that the world through Him might be saved. What kind of lack of hope do you have to strap a bomb to your chest and go to the Port Authority in New York City at rush hour trying to hurt as many people as you can hurt? Where did you lose hope? Where did you think that that would give you hope? People, all kind of things. This has brought into so much relief. By the way, some of the saddest people you ever meet are people who just take in all this stuff and they don't understand. This was God's plan. This was God's plan always that he had was wanting to offer hope. Number three, still with me, say amen. Amen. Number three, God forever shows His love to us in the Christmas story. God forever shows His love to us in the Christmas story. Your Bible's still open. Your tablet's still open. Flip over just one to the almost to Revelation there. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. These are the thematic passages here. I know I don't usually have you flip. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifest, demonstrated, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. God showed His love to us. God demonstrated His love to us because He did what? Because He sent His precious Son here in His love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the substitution, the satisfaction for our sins, where there's propitiation. He loved us first. Anybody in here, days you're not real lovely, lovable? Some of you are pointing at people. I don't know what that means. How many of you glad you look nice today? Anybody you glad you don't look like you did when you woke up this morning? Did anybody sleep in their clothes? You came just like this? Okay. Most of us do what? Most of us try and improve a little bit, right? Try and improve, unless you're just naturally, you know, unless you look like Allison, you know, back there. I mean, otherwise, most of us do what? Most of us, a little shower, a little spritz, a little buff, and all those kind of things. Anybody you hate to iron, but you feel like it's a necessary evil? Or you buy clothes specifically that don't need to be ironed? Anybody, that's your life. Can I find something that doesn't need to be ironed? I got a buddy, he takes his T-shirts to the dry cleaners. I said, what? He said, it's just easier. I said, what do you mean? Oh, they look good. I don't have to do it. He said, I'd take my shoes. He said, I want everything to go there. I said, well, it's just you got to wash them and dry them and fold. He said, that's just, no. The dry cleaners. I know those people. I know I probably put their children through school. I said, yes, yes, yes. He said, I got to look good. I said, it's a T-shirt. He said, but it's my t-shirt. I said, you're an idiot. And how many of you think the preacher needs better friends? And we want to put this on, right? It's not just that we're unlovable and unloving. Romans 5 says we hated God. We were at enmity with Him. We were at war with Him. Weird thing right now. Weird thing. I lived around an Air Force base. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Desert Storm, early 90s, and we went back to Iraq. We had folks in our church that were not from Iraq, but they were from the Middle East. And they were not practicing Muslims, obviously. They'd been saved by Christ's grace and His precious blood. But culture dies hard, and so more often than not, some of the ladies would still wear their wraps and those kind of things. We'd have servicemen who'd been deployed and come back, and they'd come in and they'd walk past folks who were dressed similar to the ones who had been shooting at them about 3 weeks ago. Nod your head if you're with me. And the guys who knew who they were, they didn't think a whole lot about it. But when they'd bring their friends with them, they'd come in, you'd watch their body language change. You'd watch them tense up. You'd watch the fight or flight start to go on in their head. Why? Because a few thousand miles ago, when a whole bunch of sand, those people were trying to kill them. Or they did kill somebody they knew and they cared about. Those people. I'm using that word generically. I'm using that word caustically on purpose. Some of you are going, you're there, aren't you? You're there. We've got this impression that we're just really good people and God really just kind of did us a little favor. We just weren't shooting at God. We were part of the crowd that murdered God's Son. God said we didn't love Him. We hated Him. We're going to murder His Son. But God loved us, and then He did what? He paid the penalty. He satisfied God on our behalf. All those lambs. Some of you that have been around the Bible a little bit, you've heard about all the sacrifices. They'd sacrifice birds, and they'd sacrifice cows, and they'd sacrifice cows and bulls. They'd sacrifice lambs, and over and over. And some of the things they did were every day, and some were once a year. And it was just an amazing. You got millions of people doing this. It is a slaughterhouse, and it always smells like a barbecue. It's all the time going on, and all this smoke and all this blood that's shed. And they had this brook that was by the temple there. And at certain times of the year, the brook would actually run red because they would take all the fluid and from the animals, and it would just stain the soil, the lilty soil, and then it would just color the bed to a bright, darkish red. And it would do these kind of things because so many hundreds of thousands of animals were sacrificed. It was never enough. It was only when the spotless Lamb of God, that's the title that's given in one of the names, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, He came and took away our sins. And His death, because He was infinite, because He was a God-man, He satisfied all of God's wrath and all of God's justice. And He did all that because He loved us. See, I need to earn my way to heaven. You're going to spend an eternity in hell trying to pay for your sins. Nobody's ever going to satisfy God. Only one could. That was God the Son, satisfied God the Father's wrath. And He did that on our behalf. It is good news. It is good news. Number four, God then was satisfied by Christ's payment for our sins. He was satisfied. Two stories, I'm done. Allison had just discovered planet Earth. we'd been renting, and long story short, the guy we'd met helped us get in the house, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get in the house. Got in his house and literally moved about 8 days, 7 or 8 days after Allison was born, I think. Let me remind you, if you have a child, especially your first, and you decide to move, don't do that within the first 10 days of life. We moved and got in, and we've been there a while, and the Lord was moving us. So we had a home we couldn't sell. That sounds familiar, right? Preacher, if you want real estate advice, don't ask me anything. So we moved hours and hours away, and couldn't sell the house. We had renters, and we had bad renters and all. Then they left, tore up a bunch of stuff, and we were trying to fix it and needed to sell the house. We'd spent all our savings and just needed to sell it, tired of renting. And I called the guy that had gotten me the house, and he said, I said, I don't need it. He said, but I got a buddy who likes to do these kind of things. So I called this guy out of the blue. He's annoyed that somebody gave him my name, gave him his name. He's like, and we talk and finally meet him. I'm basically not going to let this guy go until he buys my house. If you need desperation, you can call me. I can do desperation. And the guy shakes my hand, and long story short, we end up doing it. Where we closed on the deal was across the street from my bank. And apparently, if you ever do sell something, they give you a check. Nod your head if you know, I've only had this once. And they give you something. So he gave me the check, and I walked across the street to my bank. By the way, how many of you think I looked both ways like 9 times? How many of you think I didn't want to get hit crossing the street? And so I cross the street, and I go to the bank, and I walk in. They say, sir, what would you like to do? I said, I'd like to pay my home off. And they said, okay. And you want to make a payment? No. I want to pay it off. I will pay it off. He said, okay. And they figured it up, and they kept putting interest on every second. And so I had to write another check, and so I gave them the stuff and all, and I said okay, because I figured they'd give me a certificate. You know, I thought there'd be balloons. I don't know what I was thinking. The bank would be happy they weren't making money off of me. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was really delirious, and I was so happy. I figured they'd give me something. And she printed out. Anybody remember the little bank receipts? You know, they look like something you get at a Walmart. You know, the little bitty slips. So I pay off my house, and that's all she gives me. She prints this off, and the ink's kind of faded, and needs another cartridge in there. She says, have a good day. I didn't get a sucker. I didn't get a hat. I didn't get a coffee mug. I didn't get a certificate. There wasn't a bank manager out there. I didn't get any sheepskin. I didn't get a plaque. I got bupkis. I got a little receipt, which I still have. I got a little receipt, faded ink. And she said, next. And I walked out. And I'm thinking, pay it off the house with two checks. And I'm free. Praise God, I'm free. Man, I'm fixing to have my own moment here in the bank. And I'm looking at the guard because I don't want him to tase me. And I'm here, and I got this little thing. And Andrea, I call Andrea. I said, "What? I got it." I said, "What did it do?" I said, it's right here. She says, "Don't lose it." And so walk back across the street, look both ways. And I was happy to be done, but I was very unsatisfied with the experience. Jesus says that whenever someone trusts in him, all of heaven rejoices. You come with your brokenness and your baggage and your burdens and your problems and say, I am a sinner and I have broken your law, but I believe that you died for my sins. And that is the best news I'll ever hear. And you want to change my life. And so here I am. Here I am, Lord. And God saves you and he changes you. In all of heaven, it says, rejoices. Now that's a party. Now that is a realization that when God was satisfied with what Christ did, now he offers us hope and reconciliation. Wait for it. I love the old story. been told it apparently did originate, the best I can figure, somewhere here in East Tennessee. I'm done. Been made into a couple of songs. The story was told of the rebellious young man. Broke his mom and dad's heart. When they could no longer handle him, he started on his own. He finally decided he'd show them. Join the military, be as far away from mom and dad as he could. While I was there, God put him as a bunkmate with a Christian friend. And his mom and dad prayed, and that church back home prayed. Wait for it. God began to get a hold of that young man's heart. Long story short. Finally, one night there, his friend led him to Christ. He wrote a letter to his mom and dad. Said, I've hurt you, I've broke your heart, I've done things to hope to offend God and dishonor your name. But I'm coming home. I'll be on this train such and such a day. Said, and if it's okay for me to come back home, if you don't mind. So pass by the farmhouse and the train tracks, if you just take, tie a ribbon in the tree. Some of you know the song now. Fear and trembling, he got on the train, dressed in his official outfit, and was nervous. One version of the story, which I think is probably the truer one, is that there was a lady on there, noticed how nervous he was and prayed with him. Again, if the author is who I believe it to be. He asked the lady, said, I can't look, because he got near the farmhouse and there were pass it on the way to the train station. Said, if you don't mind, would you look and see if there's a ribbon around the tree, be right beside the tracks. As he held his head low, the woman grabbed his hand and said, son, you need to look. Said, I can't look. Just tell me, is there a ribbon? She said, no, there's no ribbon. Said, there's ribbons everywhere. He looked up, pressed his nose to the glass. He looked, and his mom and dad had tied ribbons around every tree and every bush on both sides of the train tracks. As far as he could see, the young man began to be overwhelmed as he pulled in to their stop. There wasn't just his mom and dad, but his extended family and his church family. And they were there to greet him as he got off the train. And he began to cry and said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And all they could say is, my child has come home. You know what Christmas is about? Everybody who's broken God's heart and hurt His name and blasphemed His name and done what they shouldn't have done, God stands, says, I've made it really, really obvious to you, I hope. I sent my son to die for you. And I'm asking you to come home. By the way, that's what Ephesians 1:9 is talking about. He's brought all things. He's reconciled. He's put everything back together. This is His plan. You with Him. By the way, and that'll work with all your relationships too. So I've been here. I've been listening to you, preacher, for months or weeks or days. First time, maybe I've been in another church. I've been thought about this for years. Today's your day. Today's your day to understand why it is joy to the world. To all people. It's your message. It's to you. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm here and if I died like I am, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. Maybe you are. You're certain that you wouldn't spend eternity with God, and God's really spoke to your heart. Say, I'm struggling. I need hope. I'm struggling. All I seem to do is break God's law, break the commandments. I feel so guilty. I feel so much despair and just struggling. Would you pray for me this morning? I'd be glad to. Would you pray for me? You can do it a couple ways. You can raise your hand or you can just make eye contact. Would you pray for me this morning? I want to have joy. I want to have peace. I need it. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Would you pray for me? You can slip your hand up or just make eye contact. Thank you. Somebody else this morning. Thank you. You have an opportunity in a moment. Somebody take a Bible. Show you how unique can be met in Christ. I'll take time with you after the service. Whatever we need to do, man, that you leave here today understanding what it means to know who Jesus is. Know what it means to have your sins forgiven. Say, Pastor, I'm here today, and God has just reminded me of what He did. That this is the message that everyone needs to hear. And I've got people in my life, people in my family, people in my neighborhood, my coworkers, that I so want them to understand what Christmas is all about. And I've got people on my heart that are not right with God. Would you, I want to remember them in this closing prayer. Would you pray with me about them? Would you slip your hand up with mine or make up, boy, thank you, boy, thank you. Boy, a lot of hands. Anybody else? Just, I've got people that I'm concerned about and that if they die like they are, they're not ready to meet God. Would you pray with me about them? Thank you. We're going to give you just an opportunity to respond. I know God's dealing with some of you. God's been dealing with some of you. This is your moment. This is your morning to respond to Him. Would you do that right now? Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. We're just going to make it real simple. If you would, just stand. We're going to pray together. If everyone would stand just for a moment, we're going to have we call it an opportunity to respond. As the music begins to play, I want to pray and we'll give you this opportunity to do what God's called you, calling and drawing you to do. Father, help us right now. Speak to every heart. Draw people to yourself. We love you. We thank you. And we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen. As we sing this morning, if God has spoke to your heart, I want to invite you to respond. Say, I've been putting it off. I've been putting it off. I know I need to give Him this, but I don't want to give up this sin. I want to give up this habit. I've got this. This would have to change. And God's calling you to repent. He's calling you to turn from your sin and turn to Him. And God's put that in your heart today. Well, I want to encourage you, man, to listen to Him. Respond to Him. God is that wonderful Father who sent His own Son. And even as we murdered His Son, as we killed Him, and as He took our punishment, God still says, I love you, and I want to change your life. Pianist is just playing. So, Pastor, I have spiritual needs in my life. I have spiritual needs. Pray for me this morning. I haven't made a decision, but I know I need to. God's working on my heart. Anybody else this morning, thank you. Well, a lot of... Thank you. Thank you. Pray for me this morning. Thank you. Father, you know the situation in each life. I pray that you would meet that need. I pray that they would respond in faith and repentance. Help us, Lord, in these moments. I ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Just a moment, we're going to observe the Lord's table. I ask the men who are prepared to help, if they could come to the front here and all the implements to the side. And what we'll do this morning again is, as you receive this, you can help us out here and just wait as you get the cup and the little cracker. And then just wait and we'll all partake together here in just a moment. You've got your Bibles there. Just 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. The Bible says, For I have received the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And I want to encourage you this morning to remember. Not just his birth, but his crucifixion, the agony, passion, and his resurrection. And I want to give you that opportunity to pause and to think through that this morning. Our heads are going to be bowed. We're going to We're going to pray, and then, like I said, as you get the implements, as you get the cup and the juice and the cracker there, just wait, and we'll all do that together. So take this time. It's not a time to talk or to cut up or anything. It's time to be thoughtful and quiet before God. And so I want to encourage you to do that. I'm going to ask Brother Evan to pray for us. Brother Evan's going to lead us in prayer, and then we'll begin to distribute the items this morning. Brother Evan, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. Bible says that this would be a time of self-examination. He that doubts is damned if he eats. This cause many among you are sleeping or sick. They took death, crucifixion, the Lord in a very improper way. They used it. Bread and the cup don't mean anything. A bread and cup, what they represent, something unbelievably special. So as you think today, examine yourself. Is there more or less I need to repent of? Am I right with others? Is there anything between me and God? Let this be a time of examination. be a time. This be a time of great celebration. He died for me, for my sin, for all the wrong I'd ever do. Let this be a time of expectation. Do this until he comes. There will be a day when we no longer look at this and think about Christ. There'll be a day when we'll look at Christ, see him just as he is, and we'll get to enjoy his presence bodily forever. Faith will complete, and we'll get to walk by sight. The Bible says, as oft as you do this, this is my body, broken for you. As oft as you gather together, do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, same manner after he had dipped, he took that torn piece of bread, dipped it in his little cup. He said, this cup, it's a New Testament, a new covenant in my blood. It's a new contract. This is my new agreement with you. As oft as you do this in remembrance of me. Just a moment, we'll have a place at the back as you exit. You can get rid of your cups and all. One of the things we want to do with our Christmas offerings, we do a little refurbishing on the stage. We're going to do our best to put a fairly visible cross on the back wall. Not a crucifix. He's not still there. The cross. Because from Bethlehem stable, the shadow of the cross loomed. And from Resurrection Sunday till now, the cross tells us of his great love and calls us to die to self and to follow him. Was on the cross, his body was broken, and his blood was spilled. And we are thankful. See, what's Christmas about? It is the story of a God who became a man, became flesh rather, and never sinned, and died for us, and rose again. I can think of no simpler way to do that. Bread to remind us of what he did. Join us as we pray together now. As we pray, you are certainly dismissed, and take time to fellowship. If you do have a young person that's here who's planning on being at the party tonight, make sure you stop, see Miss Andrea. She'll be out in the lobby, and just make sure we've got enough provisions and all for tonight. So let's be dismissed right now in a word of prayer. And thank you everyone for serving. Thank you men for helping today. And let's go in this spirit that we've got now. And again, if you can be back tonight, special time, candlelight service and all. Brother Presley dismisses, please.
noticed today that I think I put the last pack of paper towels, the ones for the dispensers, unless they're somewhere, I don't know where they are, because they were up on the, like, the shelf that's like this. And we all just went over. As far as I know, that's the only place I've ever put them. Yes, I saw that there were plenty of garbage bags.
And the white one was still, I think it was still.
And as far as cleaners and stuff go, I can't think of any cleaner that was there,
right?
Yeah. But I just noticed the paper towels.